Welcome to the LTS Podcast. I talk to you about my online business and my road to financial freedom. I interview entrepreneurs, YouTubers, content creators, and many others to give you tips and tricks on becoming your own boss. So join me on this road to financial freedom. Hey everybody, my name is Mario. Welcome to the LTS podcast, the podcast where I've been changing it up for the longest time, but I think I've gotten pretty much what I want to do with this podcast. So the podcast is going to be now about giving you my journey through becoming an entrepreneur, that road to financial freedom like we all love and want to do as well, living and chasing your dreams, interviewing content creators, entrepreneurs, and all of that good stuff, maybe giving you some advice and some tips along the way that maybe you just haven't thought of, or you know, just a brand new idea from somebody else. And it's a good way to bring the community a little bit closer together, and just talk about business in general and where you go from here, and maybe you will learn something that you didn't know or that you've been wanting to research. So with that in mind, I have a guest on the podcast today. His name is Justin Bravo. He is a entrepreneur, YouTuber, content creator, and he has been so gracious enough to give a bit of his time and talk to us about his endeavors. So Justin, thank you very much for being like the first entrepreneur / content creator on the podcast.
Hey, thanks, Mario. I'm very excited to be on. And let's kick this thing off with a bang.
Perfect. Yeah, I love that. I love that positivity. And see, that's the thing that I wanted to bring into this is the positivity, just everybody coming together. So that's awesome. So Justin and I, we've never met in person. But we sort of met on a bunch of Facebook groups that we belong to. One of the bigger ones is the Vloggers of YouTube, or VOY, and we just sort of kicked it off. I started watching his content. I think I don't watch a lot of vloggers. We all know the king of vlogging is Casey, and we all want to strive to be towards him. And I think Justin, along with a couple of others that I watch, are like the closest, and in terms of like spot on, great content, great cinematography. And we just sort of hit it off. I mean, I think I started following you, Justin, when your channel was about like 170 or some odd subscribers. And now you've just really, really blossomed.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I've actually, I just finished yesterday at vlog number 53. So I've done 53 days in a row. And it's been such an interesting journey. As far as, you know, where I started was I honestly, I didn't know much about the vlogging world, and I didn't really watch any vloggers leading up into December of this last year. And my girlfriend's son, you know, and really kind of that generation, he's about 12 years old, and he's they're all into vlogging and YouTube, and they knew so much more about it than I did. And he wanted to be a vlogger, and he wanted a camera for Christmas. And he was telling me, you know, hey, this is what I want to do, and how I want to do it. And I come from a media creation, and so I had some video editing experience, but I didn't know anything really about vlogging. And so I was like, well, you know, I want to kind of help him as much as I can. So I started looking at different vloggers, and honestly, like the first one out the gate was Casey. Casey was the first one I saw, first one I even watched, and I started like from the beginning watching the stuff he was doing and what I saw and the reason why I thought he was successful and how a lot of that kind of ascended. And so there's no doubt a lot of things when I started to do it, I was like, I've got to emulate someone who's been successful and how they've done it well and follow that blueprint a little bit. But it all kind of started from there. And I really didn't want to be a vlogger myself. I really kind of wanted to help my girlfriend's son out. And I went ahead and got the same camera that he got for Christmas. I was like, well, let's just do this together. And like, I was like 7 days into a daily vlog, and I said, oh my, this is addicting and a lot of fun and a really great way to hone my video skills. And then I've met people like you and watch your vlog and watch other people's vlog. And all of a sudden it's kind of an inspiring community. And I've really enjoyed being a part of it.
Yeah, it's very interesting because, I mean, a couple of years ago, I would have never have thought that I'd be speaking to somebody like you, or, you know, from the States or from Britain or you just anywhere around the world. And this community has sort of come together. Now, I definitely had failed my goals about, vlogging. I wanted to do like a weekend vlog, but here up in Canada, it's too cold. And I hate the cold. So I like, there's only so much sledding videos you can do and so much, you know.
It's true. I see, I look at your vlog. I'm like, God, that looks cold.
And yeah. Because,
you know, I'm from Texas. So, you know, down here, I think it's like 80 degrees today. So it's nice and warm.
That's gorgeous. Yeah. So let's take it back a little bit. I know you kind of sort of started telling us a little bit about how you started your vlog, but tell us a little bit about yourself. You said you're from Texas. So were you born and raised in Texas or?
Yeah, I was born and raised in San Antonio, Texas, which is South Central Texas.
Nice.
And, you know, we moved a little bit as kids, but really my entire adult life and everything's been in San Antonio. My family was born and raised in San Antonio. So this is kind of where I'm from. And really kind of how I got into being an entrepreneur, because I didn't come from a family of entrepreneurs initially, but my dad always wanted to own his own business. And he decided probably about 15 years back that he wanted to start up a home remodeling company. And at the time I was just getting out of college, and he was he really had a lot of experience on the construction end of things, but where he didn't have any experiences on marketing and in any kind of technical background as far as, like, you know, web programming or anything like that, which was kind of my forte. So we kind of came out of the gates, and it was funny because he called me up. He goes, "Hey, Justin, you know, I'm wanting to do this thing." And I know he really kind of wanted a father son kind of go at it. And at the time I was thinking, yeah, I don't know, Dad, like there's other ambitions that I have, but, I got really kind of pulled into that business. And very quickly, because he sent me over some business cards, Mario, that were like, you know, something that you expect your dad to make, like in, you know, Word or something, out of clip art.
Yeah.
I was like, Dad, this is not going to work, man. And so I was like, let me just put some stuff together. And so I started to put together like marketing stuff for him. And very quickly, I just wanted to be about it. And I really went full throttle in that business. And it was great, because in that particular business, especially in South Texas, a lot of the contractors weren't doing really good marketing, and they really weren't concentrated on that. There was a lot of just construction guys.
Mm-hmm.
And so very quickly, within a couple of years, we were the leader in the marketplace. Wow. And it was easily done because of the marketing and because of the image and all the stuff that we were doing that nobody else was able to do, you know. And it wasn't until much later on they all started hiring marketing companies and trying to figure out how to compete. But by then we had really taken over the market. And we had that business for about 10 years, and it was, really a great learning experience. We grew it from nothing to a company that was doing about $8.5-9 million a year in revenue.
Wow.
And it was an incredible business. But ultimately I had a chance to, you know, leave and kind of sell my part of it and get out and kind of pursue my main passion, which is just the marketing and just the content creation. And that's what I did about 3 years ago.
That's awesome, man. I mean, that sounds along the same lines as like my dad's story. He's always wanted to be, like in business and whatnot. And we came from obviously a poor country in Central America and you know, trying to flee and, you know, obviously get your life better. So he started a cleaning company. And, the thing that sort of set him apart, and he had, like, mind you, he had no skills with, like, he was afraid that his English was pretty poor, no marketing, no nothing, but really it was the word of mouth. And the way that he did his thing was, most cleaning companies here, in Canada or in Ontario for that matter, I don't know about the rest of Canada, but they had little add-ons. So, like, you know, some cleaning companies would be like, okay, we're just coming here to do the bare bones. We don't clean kitchenettes. We don't, you know, waxing your floors and all that sort of, that was all extra. So what my dad saw is, man, I'm going to just incorporate that into one huge package and let them know I'm going to do this at the beginning of the season and this at the end of the season. And man, his business started to blossom. And you would think that I would have sort of caught on to that, but my path led me to a different way. And just now I'm circling back to a passion of entrepreneurship. So that's a really cool story. So once your main thing now is marketing.
Well, what everything that was, you know, a lot of our successes, as that remodeling construction interior design company came from stuff that we did. Cause you know, I ended up doing a lot of radio. I did a lot of TV and billboards. I tried every avenue out there.
Nice.
And we had nice return on investment on all those. Like the ROI on a lot of those different channels worked really well for us. But at the end of the day, when we were, you know, at $9 million revenue, 80% of that came from social media and Google, either pay-per-click or organic listing, you know, via SEO. So everything kind of came from that. And, I wanted to bring that to other people. And so I did. I immediately, when I got out of that business, I had several clients kind of waiting for me. And I have now gotten to the point where I have 15, dedicated clients where I run their social media platforms. I help them with pay-per-click campaigns, whether it's on Facebook or Google or YouTube. And I also do a little bit of SEO for them, you know, and really I found that, like, kind of like your dad, is initially when I started the business, I was thinking, I really just want to be focused on social media and pay-per-click, campaign management. But very quickly I realized that everybody kind of needed help with everything. Like they wanted help with, hey, I need an email signature done really well. I need some graphics for this newsletter. I just need a marketing department. You know, but I can't afford a marketing department. And where I found a really good niche that I think that has worked well for me in Central Texas is basically kind of being a marketing department on retainer. So I've got these small businesses that will, you know, that I have my absolutely guaranteed stuff that I do for them every month.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes, you know, they need some copy for this, or they need some graphics for this, or they need me to come in and shoot photos for this or shoot a video for this. And it's kind of, it's actually been pretty ideal. And it's something that I've been wanting to talk to other bloggers about, because I don't know, you know, what everyone's, you know, aspirations are, but you know, if they're looking to start a business or they're looking to make some money in their different markets, I think that there's this great, opportunity that I think a lot of people don't realize how many small business owners, you know, are so focused on their day to day that they can't focus on growing their company with the marketing. And it's something that I think there is a great little business opportunity for people, for content creators.
Man, this is exactly how I wanted this podcast to go. What you're just saying is amazing. Guys, if you're listening to this podcast, you know, definitely hit up Justin, because I'm going to pick your brain a little bit, because you just basically opened a whole can here, for me to ask questions. So like, let's start off with the, you know, these are things that you learned in school? Like, did you go to school for this, or, like, you know, you're talking about SEO.
Yeah, not really, Mario. I mean, cause, you know, I think that is one of the things, like, you know, it's like going to school for vlogging. I mean, you really can't do that. I mean, you know, your school is really your Casey Neistat, your Roman Atwoods, your, you know, see the guys who are successful and see what you can do to kind of emulate their success in some ways, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Oh, no, most definitely. I totally agree. That's why I call YouTube, I call it YouTube University. Because it really is, like, you go on, I learned to change both brakes on my cars, from that. And it's not, I guess it's not as complex as people make it think, to like changing taillights, to, just really doing anything. And that's what I love about YouTube and the content creators. They focus on giving you, you know, there's some, you know, crappy ones out there, but for the most part, there's a lot of people, that do, those types of things, that give you the know-how, the DIYs. I think if you were to go through my history, that's the main one. Like, I mean, I learned how to podcast, through YouTube University, and like getting equipment. I've learned how to mix and master. And I didn't go to no music production school. I didn't know, video editing. I haven't gone to any of those things. So I think YouTube is a very important platform. And like you were saying, it's good to learn from those big types of YouTube personalities. So let me ask you, when you were starting with, like, you know, your SEO pay-per-click and all that other good stuff, did you have any obstacles that you encountered while you were doing that startup company?
Well, when I started the company, I remember at the time was the toughest thing was I really didn't have experience in the SEO and pay-per-click realm, and there wasn't really a school for such things.
Right.
And there was definitely a little bit of a YouTube university, but honestly, I probably learned most of that stuff from podcasts. I mean, there was some, right, there's some really excellent SEO and pay-per-click based podcasts that I remember just, you know, whenever I had free time, it was in the car or, you know, if I went for a jog, I mean, I'd go running to some SEO podcasts, and it was whatever it took to like soak that information, that experience in. And once I got it, and I felt really excellent about it. But I'd say the biggest obstacle and what helped me kind of drive my SEO thirst was that I was paying close to $2,500 to $3,000 a month on Google pay-per-clicks.
Wow.
For the remodeling business. And while it was helpful, I was thinking, man, I would love to take down this bill a little bit. And I started to learn what it took to rank organically. And when I learned that, I remember we were able to shift that very quickly. I got us ranking number one for almost any key term for our particular market.
Wow.
And the cool thing was I was able to shift that $3,000, $4,000 a month we were spending right into radio and TV and other things. I could have a chance to kind of play around with other mediums and, quickly learn that, man, I had it the best from the beginning and not necessarily needed to really kind of go out and do all these other things, but it was really kind of out of necessity thing, which I think, you know, drives most of us in life is, you know, you run into an issue or a problem or you need something and, you know, you shift gears and you make it happen.
Yeah. And you know what? It makes me feel a little bit better that you're saying that this sort of thing, pay-per-click and, SEO and tags and whatnot, it really does work because that was one of my fears. Going into, you know, starting my e-commerce store, you know, I had an idea in my head about what I wanted to do. And then I started researching the heck out of it. And I started, and you know, I'm at the point where I've ordered the samples. I'm actually waiting on a different one now. And once it's done, I can launch it. And my biggest thing was, I guess I can ask you as well. So what would you recommend? Like, would you do Facebook pay-per-click or like Twitter or like Google? Like, what is it? What does one have to do in order to get that name, that brand out there?
I think it really depends on the type of business. So for instance, if you were a plumber, I think that Google ranking, Google organic listings is probably your best bet because that's, you have people come in, you know, Googling, you know, plumber Ontario or wherever you're at.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if you're kind of an on-demand service, that to me makes more sense. If you are a company that's trying to just build some brand awareness, then I think Facebook is really has laser targeted focusing like no other.
Right.
You know, you can set up campaigns and Facebook that can target, I want to target females age 23 to 25 who have a college degree and have this much money in their bank account and are interested in poodles and also have a, you know, mom who lives in Minnesota. I mean, it's like, it's crazy how specific Facebook will let you get on people, and you can get down to that where you're only targeting like three people, but they're your three ideal clients and it costs you next to nothing.
Yeah, I started, like I did like a mock all the way up until I had to pay. Cause obviously like my web store is at first I wanted to just do snapbacks. I really love snapbacks, like hats. Yeah. And, I have a huge hat collection. I was like, you know what, man? Like I'm pretty good at Photoshop. I'm not the best, but I'm pretty sure I can do this. And it started picking up. And then I'm like, you know what? I can do some t-shirts and lo and behold, like, you know, thank God so far the designs that I posted on the Instagram and Twitter, people are loving. So it gives me a bit of hope. But anyways, I went into Facebook and man, you're right. Like you can get it down to like, the type of like shoe size if you wanted to advertise.
Yeah. You're right. It's totally unreal. And I tell you that one thing that I've seen a lot of people who, you know, that do in kind of custom print, it may not be totally related to what you're doing, but you know, they'll do in kind of custom print or custom embroidery type situations.
Yeah.
Is they'll show up a Photoshop image of, I don't know, something, you know, like, you know, Houston Plumbers, and then make a shirt that says Houston Plumbers are sexy. And they'll service that ad to people they know who live in Houston, who also are a plumber, because you can look at their title on their job description.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, that's kind of a random shirt. But if you're a plumber in Houston, you think, I got to have that damn shirt.
Right.
And they're ordering it right away. Of course, I'm sure they have no stock of those. They're printing up right away and sending it out to your Houston plumber who's sexy. But, you know, it's you can get in there. You can create a market that's not there out of nothing with those Facebook ads. It's insane.
Oh, man. And that's what I love. Yeah. Like, I mean, that was my biggest fear, because it's like, oh, you know, I listen to a lot of podcasts as well, and listen to a lot of YouTube channels that do, especially like, what I'm doing is basically drop shipping, I wanted to, because at first I was like, you know what, I'm going to source this out to China, and everybody does the Alibaba thing. I don't know if you dabbled in any of that. But then it was just like, I needed the money to start that up. And, you know, right now going to people that would want to invest is just not feasible. And I was pretty stupid when I was younger with my credit. So it's like a bank wanting to touch me. Absolutely not. So I kind of molded and shifted different directions. So I wanted to, like, do you have any experience with drop shipping? Have you heard anything about it?
Well, I have. It's been a while. I'll tell you, even before that remodeling company, so when I was in high school, I worked for a furniture company.
Okay.
And I had, you know, I mean, I was just moving furniture. I wasn't running any logistics for them or anything. You know, it was moving mattresses from apartment to apartment, which was a nice exercise, but that was about it. But it was interesting. I started to look at, as I kind of spent the summer with this business owner, I started looking. I had no idea how much markup there was in furniture. It was really kind of unreal.
Wow.
And, I started, and at the time I told him, said, hey man, you know, you need to consider putting like a web store. You need to sell some of the stuff on eBay or something. And, you know, he kind of laughed. He's kind of an older guy, and he definitely was one of those, right? The internet's not going anywhere. You know, this is not going to last. This is a fad type guy. And I was like, okay. And I remember looking at one of his suppliers, and I found this, these lamps, and, they were these like Tiffany, like, kind of knockoff lamps. And I could buy them all day long for about like $15 to $18, per lamp. And they were selling on eBay for easily $180 to $200.
Wow.
All day long. And so what I did is, you know, I started, I was like, okay, well, I opened an account with the supplier, which, you know, was nothing. It took just a small, you know, getting a DBA, which cost $5 with the city of San Antonio. And I opened an account. I was buying lamps and selling them on eBay within like 2 weeks of the idea of doing it. And I had this like little, yeah, I don't know, little like firestorm on it. Like I was selling, you know, 10 and 15 lamps a week.
Wow.
And to the point where, like, you know, obviously moving furniture was no longer a need of mine. And I quit that job, and I was moving lamps for about 4 or 5 months, and it was actually a pretty good deal. And at the time I had come across, you know, they would drop ship to my clients, and it was pretty ideal. It was like, all I had to do was list on eBay, do some really cool copy, and people were buying, and I was just collecting cash, and it was a pretty fun little business. But then a bunch of other people, you know, and it happens, they started seeing my lamps and doing the same thing as I did, and ultimately drove the cost down to nothing. And then I got out of the lamp business.
Well, it's funny. It's funny, right? Because I mean, going back, I guess, to your YouTube channel, I know that you had recently done a post about it, and people sort of cutting in and giving you some slack, because it's like, oh, it's too much like Casey and whatever. But I think what people don't realize is that everything on the internet is copied from somewhere else. I mean, originality to me is in the way you're presenting it. So, I mean, you know, people saying, yeah, well, you're copying Casey, but I don't see it that way. I see is you're taking inspiration from Casey, putting your own little twist into it. Because you're not, I mean, some of your videos, yes, I believe you do own a drone, but you don't have a lot of drone footage. And I mean, I think that's a staple for Casey. And it's just, I hate when people are like, yeah, man, you know, like that's too much like Casey. But then I go look at their channels or whatever. And I'm like, well, you're not really creating anything.
Well, hey, man, I completely agree. In fact, I did a vlog the other day about it. I ended up cutting it short and kind of cutting that part out of my vlog. But, you know, I really wanted to get into that at some point because I have caught a lot of flack for it, you know. And, you know, I think that, you know, for people to think, you know, especially if you're going to start this vlogging thing, that you're going to come out the gate and you're going to have an original idea mm-hmm. and you're going to have an original concept and it's not going to look like anything ever has been done before. I think that's silliness for that to have that expectation, unless you've been living in a cave in Africa and you just walked out and picked up a vlogging camera. I don't see how you're going to have, we're all inspired by something and somebody.
Exactly.
And all the great, you know, entrepreneurs, all the great filmmakers, I mean, you know, they all were inspired by something. And that's why I talked about the other day was that, you know, all of Tarantino's original films, man, they looked so Martin Scorsese because he was ripping off Scorsese in the beginning. And then as he went along, as he developed, he started to have his own style and then got to the point where a Tarantino film is nothing like a Scorsese film. And Tarantino has his own style and it took a while. And then there's people who now rip off Tarantino. And so, my advice to other vloggers was, you know, honestly, if you like what I'm doing, if you like what Casey's doing, steal it, copy it, do everything you can to emulate it. And then that way, at least you get the ball rolling. And then as you go, as you start doing it, you'll develop your own style. You'll develop what you like, what you hate. And at some point, you'll go from being inspired to inspiring others.
First, I just want to say, I'm sorry if I just brought that up. I should have asked you before, but, I just kind of figured it goes with the whole YouTube thing, but you're absolutely.
Oh, no worries.
It's true. Well, you're absolutely right, man. I mean, and I'm not saying this to cut up everybody that has been cutting you up. I mean, I've got a few slacks from a couple of previous videos that I have done. You know, and just totally telling me you're ripping this off. Like you're not giving credit to the person. Like I started doing some reaction videos, and a lot of people get slack for reaction videos. And the thing was for me, I'm like, well, I'm listening and then I'm giving you my opinion, but no matter what you say, people are always going to cut you up. And I mean, you got to take it with a grain of salt. But I mean, obviously you've been doing something proper because people, you're getting noticed. Your YouTube count has definitely grown substantially. Like, I mean, like I said, I think I started watching your vlogs at like 175 subscribers. And now you're like at what? Like 2,000, 3,000?
Yeah, I think I'm knocking on the door of 3. Yeah. I think, it's pretty outstanding. I would say that, you know, initially happened, Mario, was that I did post the one video about when I broke my camera. You know, and I happened to wear white Wayfarers. I was skateboarding and it was definitely very Casey Neistat type look. And honestly, I caught a little bit of flack about it, but honestly, I didn't, you know, everyone who said that, I really, you know, I didn't, it wasn't overly negative. They said, hey, I didn't like, you know, this just seems you need to develop your own style. And I would say, hey, I 100% agree. I just started, you know, 10 days ago and I'm working on that and it will shake out over the next year. And I think that once I admitted that to everybody, I think I stopped getting flack. Like, I don't feel like I get that as much. I mean, I have a few people who message me here and there, but honestly, like I a lot of that's kind of subsided as I've just said it, you know, I mean, cause you message somebody and say, hey, you stink. I'm like, yeah, you know, I hear you. I'm working on it. You know, I mean, what can they say? You take away their argument right away.
Exactly. Well, I just look at it as in like, I mean, you know, you go take a look at their stuff, like I said, and it's like, well, what are you doing? What are you creating? So, yeah, you got to take it. And I like that positive, you know, spin to it. And, so let's take it back, I guess, So you started the YouTube channel as your girlfriend's son wanted to sort of do it. So you never really were looking for this as a brand or a business type of deal then, right? It was just something to do it for fun at first, or is it still that, or is it a little bit of both?
Well, I'll tell you that absolutely I did it for, it was really initially just kind of for the fun of it. And I really just wanted to kind of play around that first week. Cause what happened was we did it the day after Christmas, after we both got our vlogging cameras and we went on a ski trip, and I was like, I'm just going to vlog the ski trip. And I did every day. The ski trip was 4 days. And really it was right after that, I got hooked on it right away. So, it was never for me, like, I never really had any kind of big hopes and ambitions or thoughts about where it was going to go. I never really kind of thought about it from that perspective. I do a lot of traveling. One of my big hobbies is running, and I usually run a marathon at least a couple times a month, and I travel to different places to do that. And so, you know, I've had people message me saying that you should blog, or you should write stories, you should do something about all these trips you take, because I do a lot. I mean, probably, you know, 25, 26 trips a year.
Wow.
And, you know, I had gotten a lot of people, you know, ask me about that. And then, you know, once I got back from that ski trip, I thought, man, you know, the vlog would actually be a pretty cool thing to take on these trips. And that would kind of be a really, really a neat way to chronicle and let everyone know kind of what I'm doing. And so once I did that, I was all about it. I said, well, let me keep it going. And again, it's still kind of a point where I've just done it to have fun. But as I've gone, I've had more people say, hey, Justin, you know, this is getting big very quickly.
Right.
You know, what do you think about the future of it? And I'm like, wow, I never really thought about a future.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question, actually, was what do you hope to achieve with this new avenue, I guess, of self-branding, self-promoting?
Well, it's interesting, Mario, because I had my cousin call me, and she's a fairly big musician out of LA, and she's, you know, she's doing really great things, and she's had to do a lot of personal branding, and she's the one who kind of told me the other day. She goes, hey, Justin, you know, this is taking off. You're doing some really good stuff, and you really need to, you know, think about where this is headed and kind of formulate a game plan on it. And, you know, I've been so focused on my business that I really didn't think about this as a personal brand kind of thing. And so it's really the past 3 or 4 days I have been thinking about it. I've had to like kind of figure out, you know, what it is I hope of it. You know, I don't know that I hope for this Casey Neistat type, you know, 6.5-7 million followers or subs and get to that point. I don't know. I know that that when I do anything, whether it be a business or a relationship or a friendship or a hobby, like I will do it full throttle until it's not fun anymore. And second it's not fun anymore, I peace out on it. And right now I'm having a lot of fun with the vlog.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of work. I know firsthand. I can't even do a weekend vlog, let alone a daily vlog like yourself. But it is most 100%. It's first and foremost, it's about having fun. And once you stop having fun with it, then you don't put your 100% effort into it. And it's something like you said, you'll just piece it out and you're done with it.
And people can tell that very quickly. You know, like I started watching Casey, you know, right there around Christmas time, and I appreciated what he was doing. I was like, oh, that's some really great shots he's getting, and that's some really cool editing.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't until I started doing this I realized, oh my, like this is a full time job.
Yeah.
But you have to love it. You have to really love it and really enjoy it for you to still do it every day. You know, and I have to dedicate so much time. The filming is nothing. It's not the filming that it's the editing. It's all the posts that really, that people don't see that. People don't see, you know, because I kind of want to talk about it, but, you know, there's also some magic by not knowing how everything's put together. So I don't want to go too much into it
right
as far as on the vlog, but I think that it's something that, man, you know, it absolutely takes up a good chunk of my day. And I've had, and I'll tell you where I'm really grateful is for my girlfriend and my kids and my friends and everyone to be as supportive as they are, because you can't like hack out that much of your day without some sacrifice from them.
Yeah. It without the support is it, that's it. You're right. Like, I mean, I, at first it was a little scary. My wife was like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? And my girls, they're like, what are you doing? Like, why are you filming? Like, and I guess you really gotta take that out of yourself and say, well, you know, this is fun. I like it. You know, screw what people are saying. Cause that was one of my biggest fears is filming in front of people. Or out in public, I should say. So,
Oh man. Yeah. What was your first, outing?
I guess the real first one was, actually one of the first, vlogs I did, was the Christmas one, the part one where I had to go to a bakery. Now, I didn't get too good of a footage inside the bakery because I was still scared. Like, people saw me coming in with this tripod and my camera, which is just my iPhone. And it was like, okay, no, you know what? I'm just going to sort of put it down. But as I gradually started moving and started filming, I was like, you know what? Screw it. I like this. I'm going to continue doing it. And the vlogs will come. It's just because the winter's here. It's crappy. There's not a lot of things you can do outdoors. So I'm going to start doing some other stuff. But, anyways, it really was an eye opener because yes, you do see people that are staring at you once you play back the video. I remember when we went to the Great Wolf Lodge, I was filming and you can see in the background that there's some kid that sort of just pops out and does the dab. And
yeah.
I just started laughing and it was a good thing. How did you overcome that fear? Did you even have that fear first and foremost?
Well, you know, it's funny is because, all right. So back in like October of last year, it was kind of after the Pokemon Go really had been big. The summer was kind of fading away. I had bought both I have two sons, an 8 and a 6-year-old, and I bought them both these Pikachu hoodies. And they loved wearing them inside, but they didn't wear them too much outside, you know, where you probably should wear a hoodie. but because they had the big like Pikachu ears on the hoodie.
Yeah.
And so they were a little like, you know, they didn't want people making fun of them or whatever it is because they were very costumey. And I remember them, you know, I could see them because I could see how much they enjoyed the hoodie and they loved it, but they were afraid to have it in front of other people. And so what I did was it was around Halloween. We were just Halloween shopping for them. And we walked in the shop and they had this like giant Pikachu onesie. And I immediately walked over. I just bought it. I was like, I'm just going to, you know, I bought it. And I put it on like right then and there. And cause we had to go grocery shopping and I told him, I said, let's go. And they're like, you're going to wear the Pikachu into the grocery store. I'm like, yeah, why not? Who cares? You know? And I, at that point, I mean, I walked in that grocery store and there were so many people and I'm a giant yellow Pikachu and I'm thinking, oh man. And I really, it took like the first 5 seconds I was walking, I was like, okay, I'm just going to go for this. And within about, I don't know, 15 minutes, I had at least 10, 15 different people come up, take selfies with me.
That's awesome.
You know, come in and like, man, you're the best dad I've ever seen. Like, and I was thinking, wow, it got such a positive response. And I guess where it really hit me close was 3 days later, you know, my kids were getting out of the car to go to school and they both were wearing their Pikachu hoodies and they were so excited about it and they stopped giving a care what other people thought. And I was like, wow, I'm glad it's hit them. And now they wear those Pikachu hoodies everywhere.
That's awesome, man. And you were just doing it just for your kids. You weren't doing it to do anything else. And that's the best part, man. I love that story.
Well, I think Mario, I, that's one thing that like, so even from the, you know, I was never a great, you know, I was very nervous public speaking. I was never comfortable on camera or radio or any of the things. And I've always put myself in a position to be uncomfortable. And so even when I was doing the remodeling thing, when I did TV, I would go and I'd buy live TV spots and go and do a 5-minute live interview on TV. And I was so uncomfortable, but I would force myself to do it every month just to see if I could, you know, get myself to the point where I would get comfortable. And eventually I did. And same thing with radio and the Pikachu thing. I did that to get comfortable. And when I started vlogging, I took my camera the very first time was actually to the grocery store too. And for whatever reason, it felt like more uncomfortable than wearing the Pikachu outfit. And I, you know, it took me a while to kind of like, I would put it out there initially, and it was just like a little G7X point and shoot. So it was relatively small, but it still was kind of uncomfortable. And, it took me a couple outings to feel comfortable with all the things and not worry what, you know, people were staring. I kept trying to take my own lesson to my kids, not to care what people think. And I eventually kind of got there. And then when I bought the Canon 80D, the big DSLR, and I did the Casey Neistat where I mounted to a Gorilla Pod and had a huge shotgun mic on. I mean, the thing is heavy and huge, and you cannot not notice it. And vlogging with that public was took a whole nother level. But I remember going out with it a couple of times, and that camera gets people dabbing and doing all kinds of crazy stuff in the background, and they love it. Like that camera people love. They if I'm walking around with that, you do get some people look at you weird, but they usually come running up to me and say, "Are you a YouTuber? Can I be on your channel?" Can you know? They just want to do stuff in the background, and it's actually been nothing but a great way to talk to people. You know, so I think that I've had people ask me that, and I think that it's something that people have to overcome, but. I guess to me, the ultimate lesson would be is whatever it is you're uncomfortable at, do it till you are comfortable.
I love that. So to just sort of conclude the podcast here, man, I could talk to you for another hour or two about this sort of stuff. I just wanted to ask you if you could give the listeners out there three tips or advice that you can give somebody that's just starting out or is in research mode when it comes to either entrepreneurship or YouTubing. What is some tips or advice that you would give them?
Well, I would say kind of number one is what we just talked about is really, really whatever it is you're uncomfortable about is if it's meeting people, if it's networking, if it's public speaking, if it, you know, whatever that is, you're never going to get good with that if you don't just do it. And I know that's easier said than done, but really, if you can just go and kind of hammer that away, and you can really get yourself to the point where all of a sudden you can overcome those fears. And it really is just one of those things that you have to do by just doing it over and over until it goes away. I would say that'd be number one for me. Number two is going back to even, you know, being unique. While I think that uniqueness, it will 100% be your way to be different in your marketplace, and you'll be able to stand out and sell more and do all those sort of things. But don't be afraid to be inspired either. You know, I think that if you look at people that are successful in your market or successful in anything, any endeavor you're trying to do, you know, don't be foolish. Learn from their experiences. Copy where they're successful, but also be critical of where you feel like they could use improvement and try to be better at them in those ways. And I think finally, the third thing that I would say is really kind of be vulnerable. I think a lot of people are scared to be vulnerable. They're scared to, you know, let people know that they're having a bad day or that they're scared of this or that, you know, they don't know what they're doing, you know. Say, hey, listen, I really have no idea what I'm doing here, and kind of be open about that. And I've noticed that in my life, the more often than not, when I'm vulnerable with somebody, they'll kind of open up and be vulnerable with me. And when I do that, I think that it makes a much better human connection that we're both, you know, we both can relate. Because to me, nothing's more annoying than say, hey, Mario, how's your day? And you say, it's a good day. Because maybe it is a good day, but if, you know, more often than not, there can't be, every day can't be a good day. You know, you have your trials, you have your tribulations, and I do too. And I like to say, hey, Mario, how you doing? He's like, man, and for you to say, hey, it's been a great day, except for, you know, honestly, I'm struggling with the bills, or I'm struggling with, you know, me and my wife kind of, you know, kind of had a disagreement, or man, the kids are frustrating today. And I think that for me, that creates real conversation and it creates real connections, and kind of just be open for that. Let's not be fake about it, but let's be real and be vulnerable.
I love it. Justin, thank you very much. Man, that was a really awesome and insightful podcast, a really, really good start to this series. I guess that, you know, where can people find you if they want to interact with you, if they want to ask you more questions about, you know, business, SEO, that sort of thing? Where can people find you?
Actually, I just launched a couple days ago after talking to my cousin about his personal branding thing. I launched a website at justinbravo.com. And on there, you can find links to my Facebook and Twitter and to the YouTube channel and kind of connect with me in all ways. My phone number and email, everything's on there. So feel free to reach out with me and connect in any way possible.
That's perfect. So yeah, guys, you heard it, justinbravo.com. As always, you guys can listen to this podcast as well on iTunes. We're on Acast and we are on Stitcher Radio. Everything else you can find on mariorivas.net. Justin, thank you very much, man, for coming on the podcast and talking to me about your business and your YouTube.
Hey, Mario, I really appreciate you having me on. I'm very excited about the podcast and everything you've got going on. And if there's anything we can do in the future together, I'd be so excited to do it.
Oh, man, I'm glad you said that because, yeah, man, I'm totally down. I mean, I have family in Houston, so if I ever go down there, maybe make a trip down to San Antonio, we can hook up and you know, just do some talking or some videos, do something creative.
Hey, man, I'm all about it. You let me know.
Perfect. Everybody, thank you very much for listening to another LTS podcast. My name is Mario. Until the next one, peace out.